associate professor in the Media and Communication Arts Department at the City College of New York, in New York, and she's also the author of the recently published book, Ad Critique. Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Alex.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I know you've got a lot going on, and I just want to thank you for talking with me on the phone to share with my blog viewers and everyone else or anyone else who wants to listen to our interview today. So thank you for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. We miss you up at City College, and anything I can do for you, I'm more than willing to help.
Thank you very much. Miss you guys, too. Nancy and I spoke just a bit before we turned on the recorder, and just an interesting isn't the right word. It's just a great community up at City College, and missing you doesn't do diligence on this end for the amount of support and just the program up there. So thank you very much for that. It's certainly mutual. Well, let's jump in. I shared some questions with Nancy so there wouldn't be any surprises, as I do with all dialogue participants. And the first question is real general about the writing of Ad Critique, and it is, how did the idea to write Ad Critique come about?
Well, actually, it's interesting to say that it was in the making for quite some time. The thinking started when I was actually in the agency business and as a copywriter. And what I found was when you would make presentations to the client, or even in internally to account management, it just always seemed to me that we were talking at cross purposes. When we were speaking about the creative product, the people on the other side of the table just didn't seem to know what we were talking about. And so in my mind, because this is the system that I grew up in, I just figured that the reason that was is because creative people are amazingly wildly creative and wonderful, and they're the only ones that really understand anything about creativity. And of course, it helped to reinforce that notion that you often find in creative departments, is that creatives are kind of smug and superior. And I think in part the reason they feel that way is because no one seems to really understand their work. So as I went through the industry and got higher and higher up in the agencies that I was working in, this kind of theme just continued to play out. You would go to a client and they seemed to understand the strategy, but when you show them the work, when you finished presenting, they had very, very little to say, and they looked kind of uncomfortable, in fact. And you could tell that it was a sad place for them to be, because they were really powerful people, really important people, really knew their job. But as soon as they were sitting down talking about the work, they didn't have the words to describe it. So this feeling of, well, that's the way creatives are. Creatives understand it. Business-minded people don't. Carried through until I started teaching as an adjunct at Parsons, which is a design school in New York City. And I was teaching future art directors the idea of critique and concept and that kind of thing. And I'm figuring that here I am with these wildly creative people. They're born creative. They're interested in advertising. It's one of their, it's the major that they selected. And in addition, they grew up around advertising. So I'm figuring as soon as we get into the critique mode, these people are going to be really, really chatty and very, very articulate about what they're looking at, what's wrong with it, and what's right with it. And I would start with our first assignment, and we would put up the work, and I'd say, well, what do you guys think? And I'd get crickets. They had no idea what to say. And this happened project after project and year after year. And what I realized through that experience was that it's not creatives that have this inherent ability to talk about the work. It's just that they have a lot of practice at it. And so teaching these people who were just beginning to understand creativity, who were creative, I realized that management people needed that assistance as well, but they didn't get it because they didn't go to art schools where critique is just kind of the currency there. And then when they got into the agencies, there's this kind of wall between account management and creatives, and no one actually sits down with them and says, let me help you be good at critique. And so that's the genesis for it, and it's been a long time coming. And it was actually when I started teaching at City College, where I was teaching copywriting to management students, that I really started to put the ideas of critique into action. And then it just kind of eventually developed into the book.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm going to skip to the third question because I think we're leading right into that. And that is, you know, you share in the book the example of asking your students to critique advertising at the start of the semester with pulled print ads placed around the room for discussion. And then you ask them to do it again at the end of the semester with their work. You know, it can be really difficult to get into critique when it's your own work or when it's your team's work. And what do you recommend? How do you, how would you say it can start in the professional world in terms of, you know, working with all sorts of dynamic teams with clients and then, you know, the account side, of course, on the agency side and maybe even third parties when you're into that creative, when you're in that executional or creative space. How would you, or what would you say as professionals we can do to foster ad critique?
Well, I think, first of all, within the agency, I think creatives need to be a little bit more generous with account managers. I think they need to be a little bit more explanatory, and they need to be a little bit more articulate about why the work works. I think that the culture of it's okay for account people not to get it, and if they don't get it, then the creatives kind of say, oh, they just don't get it, and it just completely shuts down the dialogue, and you get this kind of habit, this of behavior. So I think that as individuals, creatives need to be just a little bit more understanding, more explanatory. And I think that account managers, especially when they're first starting out, they need to be a little more bold about asking the creatives, why doesn't this work or why is this working, so that they just don't find themselves developing into kind of parrots for the clients. And I think that then the account managers can be great advocates for the creative work and do especially the same thing that if the creatives are generous with them, they can then in turn be generous with the clients. I also think that in the industry, we put a lot of stock in presentation skills. And I know, and Alex, you've probably done this many times as well, agencies have you go to professional development workshops where you learn to present because presentation is such a critical skill in our industry. I think that critique is the opposite side of presentation. It's what you say after the presentation is done. And yet the industry doesn't have professional development in critique skills. And so I think the creatives can do it on a personal level, especially as the older ones can kind of mentor younger creatives in terms of helping them make account managers appreciate what the value of their work is. I think account managers should be more bold and in turn help and assist clients to see the creative work in the same way. And then finally, I think that the industry needs to kind of step up and recognize the importance of critique and see it as professional, part of professional development and start offering it in the agencies.
Fantastic. I love at the end of the book you talk about, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly of strategy, concept, and execution and what it looked like in certain meetings. And I received your email asking for examples. So I bet that was, you know, I know that was real world examples there on, you know, the feedback and the cases you share, it was about the client and offering feedback. And I think just for listeners, if you're not familiar, and this is probably 101, but just in terms of the process of 1, 2, 3 with strategy, concept, and execution, to definitely pick up ad critique, because it was real evident to me in those samples that you shared, just using the language in strategy, and you know, if the strategy's not right, or looking at the concept and articulating what's going on there, and then, you know, into execution as well. I think if listeners aren't familiar with those terms and that process, that they should pick up today the book, because it is a 101. Creatives live, breathe, and are immersed in that, to your point. But once we get, you know, further from home base, if you will, it gets a little stodgy in terms of communication. And Nancy, just I'm gonna reword my process, because I don't know if you know, but I use the 3 phase, which is concept, vision, and articulation. And concept up front is off. I've used it from my marketing background, where we put the dots on the map, and it's the first phase. It's really an immersion phase. But I don't want to take any chances on confusing where we're going, which is, of course, the creative articulation. So the book has really I just really internalized it, and I think it's doing my due diligence as a strategist to reframe the language on my process to strategy, concept, and execution. I know marketers use concept the way I'm using it, but if our end product or end result is messaging and creative articulations, then I need to get it right on this end. So thank you for extending on that. I just can't, you know, it's just so important for professionals to, you know, learn and do what they can do to foster good critique. So really clear there on additional recommendations. One other thing that you mentioned in the book, and this is question 4 that I've sent to you, is about letting your strategy show. And I've heard that before, and I just think it's so spot on with sometimes what happens. For those folks that don't know what you mean by that, would you extend what you mean by letting your strategy show?
One of the three core terms in ad critique that I say that we all need to really understand, and I appreciate what you just said about using the terminology not incorrectly but inappropriately for the setting that you're in. So, I mean, I catch myself a lot of times saying so the idea is, I think, oh no, don't say the word idea, that's not what we mean here, but it's what I mean in common parlance. So to be very careful about the way you use the terminology. And one of the three main terms that I tell the students you need to really be able to pull apart in an ad is what, meaning what is the message that you're trying to communicate, who are you trying to communicate it to, the who, and then how, what's the concept that delivers that message. And it's the difference between the what and how that is really difficult for my students, and I think just in the industry in general, to really distinguish. The strategy is something that's an internal document, and it's something that is written with strategic language that should be clear and dynamic, but it's not the same thing as communicating to the consumer. And what we mean when we say you're letting your strategy show is that the consumer becomes a little bit too aware of what we're doing behind the scenes. And advertising that really resonates with consumers is advertising that they just feel. They intellectually get it, but they connect to it on an emotional level, and they appreciate it, and they value the information, and they don't think they're being talked to or manipulated by a client or a brand or the agency. And so a lot of times it's a really difficult notion for my students to appreciate, because they work so hard at creating these great strategies, and then when they show their work and I say, ooh, your strategy's showing, and they know it's not a compliment, but they're thinking, well, I worked so hard on that strategy, it should be showing. And I think that's how they start to understand the difference between the strategy or the what and the how, which is the concept that delivers that in an engaging way and in a way that your strategy shouldn't show. It should be so organic to it that the consumer or the reader or the watcher of the advertising, the consumer of the advertising, shouldn't know the methodology. They shouldn't know about the amazing magic that we do behind the scenes. And so I love that statement too. It's kind of like your slip is showing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, a little humor as well. Well, fantastic. Are you using Ad Critique in your classrooms today?
Well, this semester I'm actually the chair of the department at Media Communication Arts Department at City College. And so I don't know. They don't pay any extra, but they tell you you don't get to teach a class, which for me is punishment. But I'm not teaching copywriting this semester. But we have started to bring the book in slowly but surely in with the new adjuncts that we've brought in to replace me and who also teach in the copywriting classes. But I have to tell you, I mean, the lessons really are from my class. So even if I didn't have the book in the class, what I say in the book is actually what I do in the class. So either way, I actually do bring the lessons of Ad Critique into the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And then the final question here today is about, what do advertisers and marketers need to know about critique, given what we might call the new normal with diverse and eclectic ways of communicating with consumers? So, you know, I, of course, love the quote, which is on page 72, no matter how amazing the work is, it needs to be strategic. What else would you say Ad Critique readers need to know about the application of stellar critique skills, given communication shifts and the proliferation of social media?
Well, I think that it's more important than ever. I think as the industry just kind of accelerates and the opportunities that it has to reach the consumer, it's kind of a 360-degree kind of communication that we're in, and consumers are really immersed in it. And so it's a great opportunity for the industry to really screw it up and just to throw more dreck out there and increase the clutter, which is what I tell my students, that 90% of advertising is not good because it's ineffective or it's like gum on your shoe. You can't avoid it. Consumers really appreciate a message that's clear and resonates with them. It helps them navigate the world, I think. But the issue with critique and how it can help that is as it gets more complex, the ability for us to really articulate and define what is a good message, and a good message is always one that adheres to a strategy. I think that a strategy is what anchors that 360-degree communication. And the more media channels that you have, the more opportunities you have to reach the client, the more clear you have to be. That clarity, to me, helps to come through in critique. We say this all the time in the industry. We're about communication, and the interesting thing to me, and it's the reason why I wrote the book, is I don't think we're as good at communicating amongst ourselves and really dissecting the work, and that's what critique is. And as the industry just expands and has all these great new opportunities, the basic, which will help you in any situation, because it's always going to change and it's such a dynamic environment, the ability to actually talk amongst ourselves and pull that work apart, deconstruct it, decode it. If we don't do it amongst ourselves, there's no way we can do it for the consumer. So to me, critique is more important now than it's ever been. And interestingly enough, I don't think it's ever been valued. So perhaps, I go all these conferences, as you do too, I'm sure, Alex, where the people sit there on the stage, the experts, and they say, oh man, it's a mess out there. We don't know what's going on. The industry is in flux. And I think that sometimes we race ahead and try to think of, jumping on the next new thing. That's great, because that's what we're all about. We're about pushing things and making the trends, in addition to jumping on the trends. But to ignore some of the basics, I think, and thinking that maybe we're past that is a big mistake. And so I think the book is really timely, even though I think critique should have been a real part of the real basics in the industry in terms of professional development and in the academy in terms of what we're teaching our students since the beginning of advertising, and you really don't hear that much about it. But as we move into this landscape where I think it's crazier than ever, I think that critique actually offers a little bit of sanity for the people who are actually in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to go ahead and wrap it up, and thank you for your time, and I'll turn off this recorder here in a second. I just want to mention Sage Publications, because I know folks are going to be interested in getting the book, and Ad Critique, as it's listed on the back of the book and also on Sage Publications. It's SagePub, SagePub.com. It says Ad Critique teaches advertising, marketing, and managing students, both the suits and the creatives, how to effectively judge and critique creativity in advertising. This textbook is an instruction manual, a facilitator of dialogue, and a companion piece to classroom content. Its lessons result in actual skills that enable students to look at the creative product and embolden them to say something constructive and worthwhile. You probably read that 100 times. I don't know if you've had anyone read it to you, but that is Ad Critique, and it's going to be one of those books that I buy a couple copies of to make sure I have in different places. But thank you so much, Nancy, for your time today. I do want to go ahead and conclude our dialogue, and thank you through and through, and again for taking the time to talk to me. I think the value is certainly, as you mentioned, it's you know, a reflection of your experiences and you know, used in classrooms for some of your adjuncts, as you mentioned. But I think the application of it and the read of it is of importance for others as well. And so I wanted to get on your calendar and make sure we had a conversation about it for that particular purpose. I'm living and breathing in the industry as you are, and I think it's super important and a really valuable tool for folks to be aware of. So thank you for writing it, and thank you for your time today on Dialogue.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and thanks for your kind words. That's awesome. It means so much coming from you, Alex. It really does. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.